If you're here with us for the first time, my name is Rich Johnson. I'm the pastor. Would love to greet you out at the lobby area on your way out. We are in the last message in a sermon series called The Benediction. The Benediction, and it comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And over the last several weeks, I've asked and encouraged you to memorize the benediction. And I know some folks have been working on memorizing the benediction. It's called the benediction because it would come at the end of a worship service. It's the pronouncement that the priest would give over the congregation before everyone is dismissed. That was way back in the day in the Old Testament, and it has carried on and carried into Protestant churches as we speak a blessing over the congregation before we are dismissed. And as we were challenged to memorize this, each week I would share with you a little story about how God was kind of working in and through that prayer. The first week, I shared that my wife and I were part of a class action lawsuit, but we were on the good side of that because we just got a check in the mail for $800. Woohoo! Ain't God good? Hashtag blessing. Yes, we were blessed. And then the next week, I followed it up with a story about me driving on 270, and I noticed that a car was on fire. It wasn't ablaze, it was a little spark underneath the car, and I spoke the numbers blessing over them and kept going on my exit on Cleveland Avenue. A minute later, my wife called and said, "That was your children on the side of the road with that burning car." Praise the Lord, I called Campbell, didn't answer. Cora answered real quick. Grandma, I don't know if you know this story already. But the Lord spared them, hallelujah. He kept them safe. The car is gone, but my kids are still here. It's all right. We are grateful for that. So today I got another story for you of how the Lord is working through this numbers prayer. I got an email from a colleague, and it was one of those emails, y'all, that set me on fire. I'm talking about one of those emails where you read it, and instantly your blood starts to boil. Like, I can't believe they said this. I can't believe those words came out of their mouth and like onto the fingers and then through the email. And immediately, yeah, Holly, you know what I'm talking about. I began to write my own email right back to them. If it was in person, I would have been doing this. I would have been like, "Oh, no, you didn't. I got something for you. You're not going to tell me about this and that." I mean, if they wrote five paragraphs, I wrote 20 right back to them. I wanted to let them have it upside down and, you know, onto the other. I was so heated. I shared this email with my wife. I shared it with some friends. I shared it with some folks on the elder team. Like, y'all ain't gonna believe this. And I wrote the email back to them heated. A couple days later, I'm checking my inbox. He hasn't emailed me back. I'm like, this brother didn't even have the audacity to email me back after I let him have it. Like, what kind of mess is that? Go into the email inbox another day, still nothing there. I'm drafting an email, and I come back to it later. So I go to my draft inbox, if you know what that looks like. Go to my draft inbox to finish up an email, and I noticed the email I typed up to my colleague had not been sent. One person over here got the revelation. I typed up the email to let this colleague have it. Actually, he's like more like a boss of mine. But so I emailed him to let him have it. I thought I sent the send button. I told everybody that I let him have it. I went to the draft inbox, and the email was still there. What do you think I did? No, I kept it. I didn't delete it. In case I ever need to go back to it, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't send it. The Lord kept me. Anybody know some keeping like that? When you don't even want to be kept, God is keeping you. When you're trying to do wrong, God is like, no, I got you, bro. You don't need to do no wrong here. You might mess up a relationship, so I'm going to keep you. You might disturb something in your own spirit. You might show your true colors on the other side, and I want to spare you from the damage that might cause your relationships. God keeps us. The Lord bless you. The Lord keeps you. Look at the scripture from Numbers chapter 6. We're going to read it today in the New King James Version. We've been reading it in all different kind of versions, but this one's particular because I want to do something after I read the scripture for you. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, and say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. The people said, "Thanks be to God." Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Now, what I want to do is I actually want to teach you a song, Danny, that you can sing to your family, and actually your family, Lydia, can sing to you as well. And this is not just for Danny and Lydia, this is for all of us. So I'm going to teach you this song. I'm going to be the choir director. Y'all be the choir. I sing. You're just going to repeat what I say in the tone and everything in which I sing it and share it with you. Is that all right? Everybody's a part of the choir today? Amen. Okay, don't be nervous. It's okay. All right. All right, here it is. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. And be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you. The Lord lift his countenance on you. I got y'all, I got y'all. Come on. The Lord lift his countenance on you. May he keep you in perfect peace together. May he keep you in take it down, in peace. Okay, now you are going to turn to somebody and you are going to sing the blessing to them. Like, oh, she leaving. She like, I'm out. That's my cue. All right, Courtney. Courtney like, no, I'm done. Okay. So turn to somebody. I'm going to lead you through it. You can do both parts, okay? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. And be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you. The Lord lift his countenance on you. May he keep you in perfect peace together. May he keep you in perfect peace. All right. Look at y'all. If you want to look that up on Spotify or Apple Music, you want to look up Fernando Ortega. Anybody know Fernando Ortega? Old school back in the day. So yes, that's Fernando Ortega. Did you recognize that, Aaron? You did, yeah. Fernando Ortega's Aaron's Blessing. Beautiful song. Because the Numbers benediction, the Numbers blessing is meant to be this relationship between you and God, but it's also spoken over God's people to one another. God gives this blessing, this benediction to Moses, who gives it to Aaron, who speaks it over the congregation so that they will know and have a secure attachment with God. So as we look at this last part of the blessing this morning, the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is Face to Face with God. Face to Face with God. What does it mean to be face to face with God? Well, first of all, it means that God's countenance is for you. God's countenance is for you. It's not against you. His countenance is for you. You might think, well, isn't this like the line that comes before it, that when he says, make his face to shine upon you, is it basically the same thing? And most of your commentaries will say they're basically the same thing, but I see them as a different context. To make his face shine upon you is just to say that there is a facial expression towards you that is smiling. God is smiling. But the countenance is to say what that smile means, what it represents. Does anybody have a friend who text messages you and they only use emojis for like the whole sentence or whatever? You know, like smiley face, crying face, thumbs up, checkbox means what? I don't really know what it means. So that's just a facial expression, but what is behind that? We need some words, and we actually even need a tone. Webster's dictionary defines a countenance as a person's face or facial expression, but then additionally, support. That what that face or facial expression means or represents, it represents support. I can read faces better than I can read words, as I shared in the email earlier in the introduction. If I had a face that went with the words of the email that I got, it might have softened the message a little bit. I might not have overreacted. I might not have become so defensive, because sometimes words alone, they don't give us the full context of what this person means or what they're saying. We need words and pictures and facial expressions to go together. In the ancient Near East, when there was a leader, a king or a head of household, particularly for those who were serving that king or household, they would not maintain eye contact. It was seen as a sign of disrespect. So you would put your head down, and you were not able to see the king's or the leader's facial expressions. Contrast that to what we see here in this benediction. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, I look at you face to face. I look at you eye to eye. We have this relationship with one another where you don't have to come with your head hung low or bent down as if there's some tension between us, but you can lift your head and be confident that I am looking into your eyes with the look of love. The Christian Standard Bible translates this one particular part, may the Lord look with favor on you, adding the context that God's not just looking at you, but looking with favor on you. You, beloved, are God's favorite. And that goes for everyone here in the room right now. Everyone can be God's favorite in God's eyes. It's not like me and my four children where I got one favorite and everybody knows who that is. Yeah, who's the favorite? Cora, obviously. It's my baby girl. Obviously. But in God's beloved family, all of us are God's favorite. God loves you, favors you, gives to you, desires your good and not your harm. The NIV translation says it this way, the Lord turn his face towards you, and uses that language in particular to say God's not turning God's back towards you. In fact, God is turning his face towards you. It is a sign of affection and intimacy and closeness. And what we desire with God is we desire a closeness that God desires to give to us. God, look on us with favor. Turn your face towards me. How can I give you another illustration of this? It must be the relationship that I have with my oldest son, Carter. Yeah, Cora's my favorite, but really all four of them are my favorite. And don't you go telling anybody, Reddick, I said otherwise, okay? But when Carter was going through puberty, those were some hard days. Brother didn't shower. He not here to defend himself. Brother didn't shower well, didn't clean up his room well, didn't follow instructions well. If we told him to clean the kitchen, if we didn't tell him specifically what things to clean in the kitchen, only one thing would get done. I mean, it was a hard time. I never prayed so hard in my life. Lord, what do I do with this boy? You know what I'm talking about, George. And I heard the Lord say, the Spirit say, first of all, remember you went through puberty once. Ooh,
Yeah, Lord, I went through puberty, but I at least cleaned my room. I mean, I'm telling you, come on. He said, no, remember that you went through puberty once too. You were a little bit annoying. Ask your mama. I said, no, I'm not going to ask my mama. I take your word, Holy Spirit. You're probably right. That humbled me, first of all. Gave me some compassion, some grace for my son. And then the second thing I heard the Spirit say is, what did you want from your father that you can give to your son now? I said, oh, what I really wanted was his presence. What I really wanted was time with my father. And the Spirit said, go and give that to him. And so we started meeting one-on-one. We would call it Beloved Sons, and we would go out for donuts. And then when Campbell got a little bit older, I would do it with him. And then I would take Cora and Caden out as well for a little bit of time with them. This beloved time was all about being present to my children. It was a sign and demonstration of turning my face towards them and not against them, because they get on my nerves sometimes. And this is what God is saying in this passage right here, this blessing, benediction, is that God's face turns towards you and gives you time and attention. N.T. Wright, the theologian, said it like this: God lifting his countenance is his way of turning his attention to us, showing his deep personal involvement in our lives. You know what we crave the most from our parents is that time. It's that presence. Like no one else in the world matters but us, right in that moment that our parent is so attentive to us and desires our affection and is offering their affection as well. Truth of the matter is, though, some of us have some face-to-face or eye-to-eye contact anxiety. Shala and I and a couple couples went out for some salsa dancing lessons one time, and you know, they have us trade partners so that we can get used to the moves. And I got to trade with this partner, and her eye contact was like so strong. I was like, could you please not look at me? My wife is looking at us right now. You're looking like down in my soul. I don't need you to see all of that right now. Just look away, look away. But the intention was that as we are maintaining eye contact, we're learning to move and flow with one another. And for some of us, the face-to-face, eye-to-eye contact is something that gives us anxiety and we want to avoid, because God looks into our souls. God looks into the depths of us. God looks into the heart of heart of us. God sees what's going on, but it doesn't push God away. I love what he gives the priest here. The Lord lift his countenance upon you, look at you face-to-face, and then do what? Give you peace. This face-to-face is not supposed to produce anxiety, beloved. It's not something that we might feel like we need to avoid because God's going to get us. In fact, it's the opposite. God wants to give us peace. Peace in exchange for our guilt. Peace in exchange for our shame. Peace in exchange for our loneliness. Peace in exchange for our despair. When you look into the eyes of God, God looks into your eyes and offers you peace. And this kind of peace that God offers is not a one-time peace, nor is it the kind of peace that's just the outcome of the absence of conflict. The biblical kind of peace is called what, Chad? Shalom. It's called Shalom. It's this Hebrew word that is all-encompassing of wholeness and healing and putting back together that which has been fragmented. The theologian Dennis Olson says it this way: the richness of shalom includes prosperity, longevity, happiness in a family, safety and security, good health, friendship, general well-being. In fact, when you look at the multiple translations of this particular part of the benediction, you'll see they replace that word peace sometimes with prosperity. They replace that word peace sometimes with longevity or good health, because not one word encompasses what biblical peace, shalom, is all about. It's all of them. How can I relate it? Let me try. A couple years ago, my family went on a vacation to Cancun. Cancun, Mexico. Shal and I were like, we need to take our kids on an international, you know, trip so they can get experience of another culture. And we went to Cancun, Mexico. Some of y'all know. What were y'all thinking? That's not really bad. But we do things on the frugal. So, you know, we went to this resort and we got the room that has the kitchen in it. And then we went to the nearest grocery store. It was like 45 minutes away to go get all the groceries for the week, you know, because we're going to cook our own food. We're not going, you know, to the restaurant. You know, we're not even going to the beach unless it rains to make sure y'all get wet. Like, y'all need to pray that it rains so we can get wet, because that's the kind of resort we're on. Now, one day, I'm going to tell you the opposite. Somebody came and asked if we'd like to go to an all-inclusive resort. For the low, low price of just $100, our whole family of six can go to the resort for one day. And we said, yes, of course, $100, that's a whole day. Never been on an all-inclusive, you know, with the whole family. So, yeah, let's go. We go to the all-inclusive resort. It was a mistake. Anybody been to all-inclusive before? Okay, they had three restaurants, and all of them was open 24/7. Just go on up and just get what you want. They had the ice cream bar and the, you know, the dessert bar. Go on up there, get what you want. They had the kids zone that had all the games, and it was supervised, so parents could just drop you off and just leave you there. Then they had, like, the kids swimming area. They had the area where you could learn how to surf. The wave was going. They had their own beach with a nice sunset and everything. You didn't have to wait for it to rain before you got wet. I mean, this was an all-inclusive resort. And the best part was they had a spa that you could just stay in all day long. Get your hair done, get your nails did, all of that, what Missy Elliott said. You can get it all done right there at this all-inclusive resort. And that, beloved, is what shalom is like. It's all-inclusive. Shalom is all-inclusive. It takes care of you and all of your needs and all of your desires and all of your wants. Where you are not lacking anything when you have the shalom, all-inclusive blessing of God on your life. And we know what the opposite is like, because we don't live in the fullness of God's shalom now. We are part of the future kingdom, but haven't fully realized it yet. We live on the resort where we got to take care of our own stuff. And we pray, just like Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is already done in heaven. Let your shalom come on earth as it is already done in heaven. Let the fullness, the all-inclusiveness of your shalom come and invade my family, invade my workplace, invade my church. Let your shalom come in full in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. We live in the time, beloved, where we don't get to experience the full, all-inclusive shalom of God, and so we pray for it. But we also recognize that it is here with us in the person of Jesus Christ. Like we read in our Lectio Divina earlier this morning, that the story was the disciples got in a boat with Jesus and they were going to the other side. And while they were out on the boat, a storm started to rage and waves started to build up, overtaking the boat itself. And Jesus was in the back of the boat, knocked out, asleep. And the disciples begin to go frantic. And when they wake up Jesus, they say, Lord, don't you care for us? And many of us, that's the question in our heart. Lord, don't you see us? Do you care? Do you care about the struggle I'm going through? Do you care about this health crisis that I'm experiencing? Do you care about the family member that's not following you and is choosing a wrong path? Do you care? Do you care? Do you care? And Jesus, when he's awakened, he says the words, peace be still. And oftentimes when I read that passage like I did today, I wonder if he's speaking to the storm inside of me first before he's speaking to the storm outside of me. Before he deals with the uncontrollable stuff that I can't control, but God is able to, he speaks into me first. He speaks into my turmoil. He speaks to the winds and the waves that are tossing me inside, because he knows what I need most is inner peace. Not just peace with my circumstances. One theologian said it like this: true peace does not come from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. When Jesus tells his disciples, in this life you will have trouble, but don't worry, Don't be overcome. My peace I leave for you, and I have already overcome the world. How do we practice this benediction, this blessing? Notice in verse 27, the Lord tells the priests, they will put my name on them, and I will bless them. There's a partnership here in the benediction, that this blessing is for you, but God says and instructs us to put God's name on us. He says, put my name on you. Put the name Lord on you. Carry it around with you like it's the most important thing about you. What is the thing you always have on you before you leave the house? He says, before you leave, put my name on you and then be assured I will bless you. So how do we take this blessing home? Number one, I want to encourage us to review our day or week with God through the blessing, through this benediction. There's six parts of it if you break it down. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Those are the six parts. Blessing and keeping, shining and grace, favor and peace. And as I review my day or my week, I want to notice and pay attention, where did I see God in any one of those six things? Where did I notice that God was blessing or keeping me from getting into trouble? Where do I notice God smiling upon me and giving me grace and mercy? Where have I seen the Lord's favor and received God's peace? And on the other side of that, you could ask it the other way around. Where do I not see these things? Where do I not feel them in my life personally or perhaps even in the world? And then begin to turn those things into a prayer as you pray this blessing with confidence. And the confidence is not in you. The confidence is all in God. Confidence that God is the one who initiates the blessing. The way he ends in verse 27 is the way it begins in verse 22. The Lord is the one who's saying these words. I'm the one who's blessing you. So even though we say it, and we say it over our family, and we say it over our friends, it is the words Lord's who is actively involved in the blessing. So the confidence that I take is that God is the one who's doing the blessing. Secondly, the confidence that I take is that God desires to bless. It's not that he just can, but God desires to. It's God's desire to bless you, to advocate for you, to come close to you, to look at you face to face and not turn you away. We also remember that God, we take confidence that God is in the boat with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. When God looked down on humanity and saw the despair that they were in, God didn't just step back. God got personally engaged and involved, giving of God's own self in the flesh called the incarnation, where Jesus Christ is brought into the world to be face to face with humanity. It wasn't enough for God to just sit high and look low. It wasn't enough for God to just speak a word through the prophets. God needed to get intimately, actively involved in the everyday lives of the humanity that he created. And he went down and gave his own life to be flesh on flesh with us. When we receive the blessing and the benediction, it is to say that Jesus, we receive your incarnation. We receive your life. You know us better than we know ourselves. You keep us better than we're able to keep ourselves. You can bless us better than we're able to bless ourselves. God, there is none like you in the person, in the face of Jesus Christ. If you, beloved, are a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to make this a declaration over the next month, maybe even the whole summer. Pray this prayer daily. Pass it on to your family members and your friends. Ask one another, how are you seeing God at work in this benediction? If you're not a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to give your life to the Lord. to put the Lord into a relational challenge. Lord, what is it like to be in relationship with you? To receive these words that you turn to me face to face and you don't turn your back towards me. I encourage you to give the Lord a try. Try on the name of the Lord in the person of Jesus Christ and see how the Lord takes care of you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly, most gracious Lord, I thank you for this time where we could hear your word through the benediction. I thank you, God, that you speak this word over us, that you turn your face towards us and not against us, that you've got an all-inclusive kind of shalom peace available for each and every one of us. And for those, Lord God, even who are struggling and trying to figure the way through, come close and be near. Be their Lord, their Savior, the one who blesses and keeps, the one who shines and smiles and gives grace, the one who turns their countenance towards and gives peace. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, I pray and I thank you. Amen. I'm going to pull another audible here because I know the Spirit is at work. And I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward to be available to intercede for those who would like to receive prayer this morning. And then simultaneously, I'm going to ask our worship team to come on back up to give us the closing song today. The closing song is a familiar one. We've sung it before. It is The Blessing. When we were going around the dinner table at my house and asking everyone which version they were going to try to remember together, my son Cam said, I'm going to do the song because I know the song, but also like the song. You might remember his testimony, the message that he shared a couple weeks ago for Youth Sunday. The Blessing was one of the songs that the youth broke out at school at Oakstone Academy when there was a little bit of a revival, if you will, that was taking place as they were stuck in the mud and waiting for somebody to come rescue them. Cam led them in the Blessing song. And so we encourage you as you hear these words, you would first hear them sung over you, but then as you sing them back to the Lord, it will be done with this confidence that God is for you and not against you. You bow your head just for a moment as you envision God being right there with you. Maybe perhaps considering coming forward today to receive prayer. Receive the blessing spoken over you. Perhaps there's some difficulty you're facing, some challenge, and you're trying to discern the way forward. Thinking about a career change or a relationship change. God, do you care? Maybe it's a health issue you're struggling with, still trying to figure the way forward. God, do you care? You and God have been estranged for a while. You hear a message like today and it doesn't seem like it applies to you. You're not worthy of it. God, do you care? God, do you care? I invite you to come and receive prayer this morning. Receive a word that God cares for you. Let us pray.